trading psychology and his trend trading method. So a trader is not left with the issue of fishing these out for themselves amid the great story. Who am I to take on this task? In using the Darvis system and principles, I was able to build accounts worth over $250,000 from 2003 to 2007, and then take them all to cash and avoid losses during the market crash and ensuing Great Recession of 2008, much like my favorite trading author Nicholas Darvis did in his own time.
You're listening to How I Made $2 Million in the Stock Market by Nicholas Darvis. Copyright BN Publishing. Online at bnpublishing.com. In the morning of September 3rd, 1958, the following cable arrived at the Gloucester Hotel in the Crown Colony of Hong Kong. Bought 3,000 thiokol, 49 and 7/8. This purchase represented one part of a chain of purchases that were to net $2 million in 18 months. And this is the story of events that led up to it. Chapter 1. Canadian Period. It was November 1952. I was playing in Manhattan's Latin Quarter in New York when my agent telephoned. He had received an offer from me and my dancing partner, Julia, to appear in a Toronto nightclub. This was owned by twin brothers, Al and Harry Smith, who made me a very unusual proposition. They offered to pay me in stock instead of money. I've had some strange experiences in show business, but this was a new one. I made further inquiries and found they were prepared to give me 6,000 shares in a company called Bryland. This was a Canadian mining firm in which they were interested. The stock at that time was quoted at 50 cents a share. I knew stocks went up and down. That was about all I did know. So I asked the Smith brothers if they would give me the following guarantee. If the stock went below 50 cents, they would make up the difference. They agreed to do this for a period of 6 months. It so happened that I could not keep that Toronto date. I felt badly about letting the brothers down, so I offered to buy the stock as a gesture. I sent them a check for $3,000 and received 6,000 shares of Bryland stock. I thought no more about it until one day, 2 months later, I idly glanced at the stock's price in the paper. I shot upright in my chair. My 50-cent Bryland stock was quoted at $1.90. I sold it at once and made a profit of close to $8,000. At first, I could not believe it. It was like magic to me. I felt like the man who went to the races for the first time and with beginner's luck backed every winner. Cashing his winnings, he simply inquired, "How long has this been going on?" I decided I had been missing a good thing all my life. I made up my mind to go into the stock market. I have never gone back on this decision, but little did I know what problems I would encounter in this unknown jungle. I knew absolutely nothing about the stock market. I was not even aware, for instance, that there was one in New York. All I had heard about were Canadian stocks, particularly mining shares. As they had been very good to me, obviously the smart thing to do was to stay with them. But how to start? How to find what stocks to buy? You couldn't pick them out with a pin. You must have information. That was my major problem. How to obtain it? I now realized that this is, in fact, impossible for the ordinary man. But then I thought I had only to ask enough people to learn the great secret. I thought if I asked often enough, I would get acquainted with people in the know. I asked everybody I met if they had any stock market information. Working in nightclubs, I meet rich people. Rich people must know. So I asked them. The question was always on my lips. Do you know a good stock? Oddly enough, everybody did seem to know one. It was surprising. Apparently, I was the only man in America who did not have his own first-hand stock market information. I listened eagerly to what they had to say and religiously followed their tips. Whatever I was told to buy, I bought. It took me a long time to discover that this is one method that never works. I was the perfect pattern of the optimist, clueless small operator who plunges repeatedly in and out of the market. I bought stock in companies whose names I could not pronounce. What they did and where they came from, I had no idea. Someone told someone who told me. There could have been no more slap-happy, ignorant buyer than I was. All I knew was what the last head waiter in the last nightclub I had